Hospital will be overseas all week. In Somalia today, there's a growing crisis caused by unknown killers who are striking at the heart of the aid community, causing pullouts and grave concerns about the 2 million Somalis who rely on them for food. Investigators believe both Western aid workers and Somalis working for them are being systematically targeted, assassinated in a campaign to drive out the, quote, infidels, according to a widely circulated leaflet warning, "We promise to kill them wherever they are." Joining us is Jeffrey Gettleman. He is in East Africa covering the story for the New York Times. Thanks for being with us, Jeffrey.
My pleasure.
And whoever is targeting the aid workers, especially the past 2 weeks, they've certainly been making good on that promise to kill them wherever they are.
Yeah, and this really couldn't be coming at a worse time. I mean, you have to understand the context of Somalia. It's a country that has gone through hell and back over the last 17 years since the central government collapsed. And this year, all the elements are lining up for another famine. You have drought, you have conflict, you have displacement, and now the final blow is you've had these targeted killing of aid workers just at the time that they're direly needed.
And it's not only the Western aid workers, it's also Somalis working with them. And again, particularly the last 2 weeks, the escalation has been visible.
That's right. And we're even hearing stories and reports about Somalis working for local organizations, no links whatsoever to the UN or Western aid groups who are being targeted. And it's not clear who's doing this. Some people say it's the Islamists, and it's a renegade wing of the Islamist movement that used to run Somalia. But other people have told me that they think it could even be the government of Somalia, which is very weak, on the verge of collapse, and they're desperate for UN peacekeepers to come and support them. And the thought is that the government may be doing this as a way to bring in peacekeepers because the situation is so critical that will be the only way to deliver aid.
And that's clearly a serious charge, and it's worth noting that this is a government that's been backed by the U.S.
That's right. And the government is a mix of people. There's some people in the government that are very professional, very competent, but there's also some former warlords and less savory elements within the transitional federal government. And the U.S. and the U.N. has been backing it as the best solution to bring a government to Somalia, but there are people within the government that, you know, may be capable of doing something like this.
Since January, 20 aid workers have been killed. What's been the response today? There was a killing on Thursday of three elders who were helping local aid workers distribute food. Last Sunday, there was a trucking agent in charge of transporting emergency rations was killed. Are there plans for more pullouts? I understand there was a plane on Friday that had at least a dozen aid workers who were leaving Mogadishu.
I think everybody's really concerned. They're trying to figure out how to keep their staff safe and how to keep the aid operation going. Nobody wants to stop aid to Somalia. They just can't. Millions of people could starve to death if they did. So they're trying to figure out how to better protect the people who are there. There's been some relocations, which means that the UN and other big groups are taking people out of very dangerous areas and putting them in less dangerous areas on a temporary basis. They've also been scaling back some of their operations, which means they might not be building a school in an area that they had planned to because it's too dangerous right now, or they might reduce their visibility and try to use more local staff. But it's happening right now. It's very fluid. So I think over the next few weeks, we're going to see how this plays out. But a lot of UN people say they don't have a lot of time, that the country is on the brink of a famine, and that hundreds of thousands of lives hang in the balance.
And those predictions of terrible consequences, as you noted at the beginning of the interview, that are particularly difficult given the drought, food shortages, and food prices up to 500. What are those predictions of what happens next? Full-scale famine?
Right. Well, right now, a lot of Somalia is classified as a humanitarian emergency by the United Nations, and that's the last stage before a full-blown famine. Now, the definition of famine depends on who you talk to, but it's usually measured by malnutrition, by the access to food, by insecurity, by the number of children who die before they're 1 year old or 5 years old. So there are different indicators that let us know how close we are to a famine. But if you mix together all the elements we're seeing, which is war, displacement, drought — this year has been really bad as far as rainfall — on top of that, the global food crisis has pushed prices up, and now with the aid workers, people are really frightened.
Jeffrey Gettleman, thank you.
Thank you.
Jeffrey Gettleman reports for the New York Times, and he's based in East Africa, and a looming crisis there.
Chaos begets famine.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.